Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
Whether you're choosing a mate or choosing a career, God has given us the wonderful responsibility of making choices, and it is especially important that you choose the right person with whom you're going to spend your life. Outside of your soul's salvation, your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, your most important decision, your most important choice, the most important choice that our children will make is the choice of their mate. But there is one, that special one of God's own choosing, and if you will be patient and pray and trust God, He will lead you.
On today's PowerPoint, Pastor Graham brings a message about how you can find love that lasts a lifetime. Now here's Pastor Graham with his message, Finding the Love of Your Life.
In Genesis chapter 24, we're going to see how the legacy of faith continues from Abraham and Sarah to and through his son Isaac and his wife-to-be Rebekah. And establishing this covenant of faith and marriage in the family of faith is so very, very important to carry on the legacy of our lives from generation to generation. And that means knowing and doing the will of God, and that God gives us a choice. And yes, I believe that there is that special someone that God has planned and prepared for each of us. I believe that God leads us to develop and to establish godly relationships. We see that throughout the scriptures, and that God is not hiding His will from us, His children, that He's not playing hide and seek, but He wants us to know His will more than we even want to know it. And if we'll pay attention and follow certain biblical principles, it's not a seven easy steps to knowing the will of God that I'm going to talk to you about, nor are we reduced to the fortuitous conjunction of circumstances, i.e. fate, to make decisions, but we are led by faith. The will of God is not so much a roadmap as it is a relationship. As we are walking with God and relating to God, knowing God, He will help us to know and to do His will every single day. And what we see here in Genesis chapter 24 is a beautiful love story. It is the romance of redemption, a classical love story. Somebody ought to make a movie out of this beautiful love story between Isaac and Rebekah. It's the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. Now, can you believe that? The longest chapter in Genesis doesn't concern the creation, but rather it concerns the creation of a marriage, the creation of the love between a man and a woman, Isaac and Rebekah, and how the father, Abraham, made sure that his son Isaac, the son of promise, was given every opportunity to succeed in life and relationships and to carry on the legacy of faith. Look in chapter 24 and verse 1. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me in this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give you this land,' He will send His angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there." This servant, who was probably named Eleazar, though he is unnamed in this passage of Scripture, went on assignment from Abraham 500 miles to the land of Abraham's family, and there to seek a wife, a bride for Isaac. After his long journey to this particular land, he went to a well where he knew the women of this particular area would be gathering to draw water. And he began praying and asking God to superintend, to sovereignly work in this process. And even as he had been promised by Abraham that the angel of the Lord would lead him, he began to look and listen for the leadership of the Lord, and to ask for the leadership of the Lord. And sure enough, when the women came for water, bringing their jugs, he noticed a beautiful woman. Her name was Rebecca. And he said, when this woman comes and I ask her for a drink, which was a custom for a stranger to ask for a drink of water, when I ask for a drink, then let the woman also say to me, may I also water your animals, your camels. Now that was an unusual thought, wasn't it? Because watering camels was way above the call of duty for this woman or any other woman. I'm told that a camel can drink up to 21 gallons of water. Clyde is really thirsty by this point, along with the other camels. And so you can imagine what a task that would be to water all of these animals. And yet when this particular woman came and he asked for a drink of water, she said, may I water your animals? May I give drink to your animals as well? And Eleazar, or the servant, knew he was on to the right woman. And he engaged her in a conversation and established rapport with her, and ultimately was invited to her home. And there, after conversation and after he told her of Isaac and of Abraham and the call of God upon their lives and upon her life, and asked her to go back with him sight unseen. Now imagine this, girls, sight unseen to meet Isaac and to marry him. And yet in the plan and in the providence of God, as God worked in this process, she said, yes, I will go. And it is a beautiful love story that describes so powerfully the lessons of faith, of the providence and the plan of God in our lives. And we see in some very simple principles here how God led Abraham and the servant and Isaac and Rebekah all together in his will, and how he will lead us today. Because now we have his word. Now we have clear direction as to how we are to follow the Lord. And I want to help you. Whether you're choosing a mate or choosing a career, God has given us the wonderful responsibility of making choices. And it is especially important that you choose the right person with whom you're going to spend your life. Outside of your soul's salvation, your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, your most important decision, your most important choice, the most important choice that our children will make is the choice of their mate. But there is one, that special one of God's own choosing. And if you will be patient and pray and trust God, he will lead you. How? Number one, know God's word. Know God's word. Abraham had received God's word. That word was that he was to carry out the promises of God through his family. And so in response to the word of God, he said, because God has led us and promised to bless our family, Isaac needs a son. And then he gave clear direction, specifically regarding as to the kind of person that Eleazar was to look for. And he said, especially do not choose a woman from among the Canaanites. Now he lived, Abraham and his family now lived around the Canaanites. These were unbelieving and pagan people. And he laid down a principle here at the outset that when you choose a person who shares a common faith, who is not a pagan, but someone who is from my kinsmen and my family, and someone who will share our faith. You see, God leads us according to his perfect word, and his word has been given to us in order that we might be led by the Spirit of God. The great preacher Barnhouse, Presbyterian preacher of yesteryear, said that 99% of the will of God is above the neck. And by that he meant that if we will open God's word and begin to think biblically, if we will get the word of God into our hearts, into our minds, and begin to think critically concerning the choices that we make as we filter them through the word of God, then we will make wise decisions. That's why it's so vital that you not just simply know about your Bible, but that you know your Bible. That you truly know the precepts of Scripture, the promises of Scripture, the principles of Scripture. That you begin to ingest and digest the Word of God, because the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, rebuke, construction, and instruction and construction in righteousness. Because we have this wonderful promise according to Psalm 119 and verse 105, one of my favorite verses. That thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And just as Abraham laid down a biblical principle here. Don't take a wife from among the Canaanites. God, in His Word, has laid down the same principle for those of us who are believers, that we would also choose, not from among unbelievers, but that we would choose a mate and our primary relationships from those who share our faith, who have a common faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? What connection does light have with darkness? That's 2 Corinthians 6:14. And then 1 Corinthians 7:39 says that we are to marry only in the Lord. Talking to believers, Christians. We are to marry only in the Lord. So, if we're going to obey God's word, when we search the scriptures and we see the principles there, one of the principles that leaps out from the pages of scripture for any believer is this principle of choosing godly relationships. You ought to make sure that the person that you're considering marrying shares your faith. You need to know that you know Christ, and because you know and love Jesus, you need to make sure that your friend or your potential mate loves Jesus as well.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Finding the Love of Your Life. Be sure to visit our website where you can download our free smartphone app, become a fan of PowerPoint on Facebook, or follow Pastor Graham on Twitter. You can also sign up for his free daily email devotional. Go to jackgraham.org. That's jackgraham.org.
Whether you're batting 1,000 or striking out in your marriage, Pastor Graham wants to help you make it better by sending you a special gift, his 10-message CD series called Marriage by the Book. This special resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint. So call to request it today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And now, if you miss any part of today's broadcast, you can hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Now let's get back to today's message from Pastor Graham, Finding the Love of Your Life.
If you're looking for someone to marry or establish a godly relationship, check out their fruitfulness. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And here, you're going to see a tree planted. And on this tree, the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the result of the work of Jesus Christ in a person's heart and life. When we abide in Christ, when Christ lives in us, and we are connected to Him, spiritual fruit is the result. And so, when you consider a relationship, you need to know that this person is bearing the spiritual fruit that is described in the Bible. For verse 22 says, Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Does this person love as the Scripture teaches love? Is this love? Is it sacrifice? Or is this person full of selfishness and self-love? Does this person know how to love God's way? Joy? Does the person that I am about to marry or considering for marriage, does this person know the genuine joy, the authentic joy that comes from knowing Christ? Is there a deep joy within? Does this person have a godly sense of humor that is the joy of the Spirit bubbling up in their lives? But is there also peace? Is there emotional and spiritual stability in a person's life? Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And when a person has peace, that emotional equilibrium, not filled with anxiety or worry, but rather full of the peace of God. How about long-suffering or endurance? Does this person have a stick-to-itiveness in their life, a steadfastness in their life? Is the person that I'm considering a person who knows how to stick to a task and stay with it, or is this person constantly starting and stopping and quitting? Kindness. Did you know that when women are surveyed as to what they're really looking for in a man, either one or two on the list is kindness. Guys, ladies are not looking for macho toughness. Primarily, they're looking for kindness. Does the person you're considering for marriage have a kindness in their hearts, or is there a mean streak that shows itself from time to time? And then goodness, that's moral goodness. Does this person possess a moral goodness? Are they committed to living according to the goodness of God working in them? How about faithfulness? You better know if your husband or wife is going to be faithful to you. Faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. Is this person sensitive? Or is this person domineering and running people over? And then self-control. Does this person control their mind, their lip, their language, their money, and so on? I could stand here all day and apply these verses and help you ask and answer questions. But when I say that the will of God is known by knowing the Word of God, you see, if you have biblical standards for your mate, then you'll make a decision based upon not what you feel, but what God's Word says. Feelings are a part of it, but love is so much more than feelings. Set high standards. I know of some young adults, single women right now, that are setting their standards very high. They're even writing down the profile of the kind of person. That'd be a good idea, students, for you to write down a profile of the kind of person you're looking for. What are the qualities? What are the moral characteristics? Is that person a character, or do they have character? And there is a difference. Look for the inner life of a person, and then do not compromise your standards. It's regrettable when you see some Christians lower their standards. They get in a panic mode to find somebody, just anybody, instead of God's one for them. And they start lowering their standards in order that somebody may love me, or because I got to get married. No, you raise high and holy standards, and you be the right person, and you will be more likely to find the right person. You understand what I'm saying? You raise your standards. And you keep them there. Know God's word and seek God's will. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You put Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't you know He knows your need? He knows your name. He wants you to know His will. And yes, if that includes the right person, the one person for you to bring that person in your life, don't you know if that is God's will, if you will commit to God's will, He will bring it to pass in His own time. Delight yourself in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I quote it again and again and again and again from this pulpit, because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Check out a person's faith. Check out a person's faithfulness. And I'll tell you something else to check out. Check out a person's family. Not only their physical family, but primarily I want to talk to you about the church. If someone that you're considering marry is not, in following Jesus Christ, engaged in the ministry of the local church, beware. Beware. Because number one, if that person has a low idea or a low level of thinking regarding the church, they may have a problem with spiritual discipline and taking responsibility. The very best place to meet the love of your life is not at a club or a bar or a chat room. Now, you may meet your mate at work. You may meet your mate at college or school. You may meet your mate through family or friends, but I really believe the best place to meet the one who is the love of your life is at church. I'm not talking about just any church, but I'm talking about being involved and being engaged, plugged in, connected to a church that understands the authority of Scripture, the infallibility and the inerrancy of Scripture, and preaches and teaches God's Word. I'm talking about a church where Jesus Christ is exalted in the worship and in the witness of that congregation proclaimed. You can go to some churches that have the name church on their sign and never hear the name of Jesus mentioned. You could go for a month of Sundays and never hear Christ exalted in that church. The church of Jesus Christ honors and exalts Jesus. All hail King Jesus. I'm talking about a church like that. I'm talking about a church full of dynamic worship and the teaching and preaching of God's word, where salvation is proclaimed as by grace through faith in Christ and Christ alone. I'm talking about a church where people are involved, where the people love one another, where they're engaged, whether it's a large church or a small church, where people are involved with one another and they're engaged in ministry. And if you don't know a church like that, I have one I can recommend to you. Thirdly, not only to know God's word and seek God's will, but to trust God's ways. That's what Eleazar did. You see, when you read the story, you see how God was working behind the scenes, sovereignly working, open doors. And when the woman asked for the permission to feed the camels and so on, that was God working in the process. Eleazar began to pray and ask God to lead him. He left it in God's hands. Trust God's ways. How many times have we made decisions and we look back on those decisions, and even though we didn't know exactly if it was the right thing or the wrong thing, we look back on our lives and we see how God was working in our lives. Sometimes when we made the right decision, and other times even when we made some dumb decisions. That God, in the chemistry of His love and grace, worked things together. And when we look back on it, we see how God was working all along, bringing us about. When we got off the road, He brought us back in, and so on. That's called providence. Trust God's ways. His ways are not always our ways. He doesn't always do it the way we want Him to do it. But if you want His will for your life, for your future, for your family, then trust His ways. And then finally, pray for His wisdom. That's what Eleazar did. He began to pray and ask God for His wisdom. And James tells us in James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. That is, he gives abundant wisdom to all who ask. Simply put, if you have a decision to make, especially a decision so important as a relationship, are you praying about it? Because some people say, oh, I want to know, I want to do the will of God, and they don't even pray 5 minutes about a decision. Are you praying? Are you waiting and trusting God to lead you? The servant Eleazar, down in about verse 27, I believe, said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. You know what that means? I was following God. I was on the way doing what He wanted me to do, and I being in the way, on the way, the Lord led me. Have you ever noticed that it's easier to steer a car that's moving than one that's parked? The will of God, you see, is not so much what am I going to do 10 years from now, 5 years from now, but what am I going to do in the next 5 to 15 minutes? The will of God, I being in the way the Lord led me, is a step at a time, a day at a time, a decision at a time, to make wise decisions and to ask God step by step for God's will. And if you will do that, I'm confident that you will make decisions that not only honor God, but strengthen your life, your family, your faith, and your future.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, Finding the Love of Your Life. Pastor Graham shows you how to have the marriage you've always wanted in his 10-message CD series called Marriage by the Book. This message series is our gift to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint, so call and request it today. 1-800-795-4627. 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Pastor Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can now hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Pastor, some of our listeners may not be married yet, so what is the word you have for them today?
I believe it first begins in the hearts of parents who, by faith, begin praying for their children's mate. I know Deb and I Once our children were born, we immediately began praying for our children. And of course, when you pray for your children, that includes the friends that they will make, and it includes the career that they will choose. And certainly at the top of the list is the person that they will one day marry. So we've been praying for our children through the years that God would lead them. Just as we've seen in our biblical story, Abraham sent a servant to find a bride for his wife. And while the culture was very different in that time in the way husbands and wives got together, the principle is still the same. We should be praying and preparing our children. And that includes teaching them to be the right kind of person in order that they will find the right kind of person. Helping them understand who Christ is at an early time in their life, and then to begin following Christ, and then to meet and marry a person who's trusting in the Lord herself or himself. But beyond the parents, every person must make their own decision before God. I do believe God leads us by His Spirit when we ask Him. God is not hiding His will. So if you are single and you are looking for that very special someone, begin asking God to lead you to the right person. Again, it's very important if you want to find the right person, be the right person. And be in the places and around people that are possibilities in your life. One of the best places, of course, that you can meet a mate is at church, where people share your faith. The Bible is very clear that we're not to marry outside of our faith in Jesus Christ. Do not be unequally yoked together. So find someone who knows Jesus Christ, and then before you get married, make sure that you get biblical guidance. It's important that you prepare yourself emotionally, socially, spiritually for the marriage commitment. I tell couples who are in my office preparing for marriage that there are three essentials. One, compatibility, that you share the same heart, light, faith, and hope. Then chemistry, the sharing of an attraction and a love for each other that extends through the years. And then, of course, Christ. That Christ is at the center of your heart, and because He lives in you, He will live in your home. God bless you as you seek to be and to find the person, the love of your life. I believe when you're grounded in Christ and build your house upon the strong foundation, which is the Lord, you will build a marriage that lasts.
And that is today's PowerPoint. We'll send you Pastor Graham's 10-message CD series called Marriage by the Book as our thank you for your gift to PowerPoint today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Well, next time, Pastor Graham brings a message with the secret to building a marriage that stands the test of time. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.